To the introduction, where I am introducing Rabbi Dr. Avraham's introduction to Or HaChaim Shin Chav Ches. So, if you're using the source sheet, Debbie, thanks for your note. If you're using the source sheet, we are up to, I just put the link again for it in the chat, we're up to source number 76. That's what you want. We've said that there is a hierarchy of levels of illness that are recognized in halacha. Topmost being danger to life, pikuach nefesh, safe pikuach nefesh. Then one rung below that, we said, was sakanas aver, danger of permanent dysfunction of a part of the body. Then below that, really with it, but kind of below it, was cholesha in bo sakana, somebody who is ill, but not dangerously so, right? We said that the person who is in danger of a body part becoming permanently dysfunctional is kind of in between because their life is not in danger. If it were in danger, they'd be in the pikuach nefesh category. However, they stand to lose permanent function of a body part, and also losing a body part tends to involve more danger than a standard case of illness. So for those reasons, it was kind of bumped up. But what about somebody who, and the definition of chole she'ein bo sakana, the person who is ill but not dangerously so, we said was either bedridden or their entire body is ill, like we gave the example of a migraine, a high fever, so but not high enough that we feel like there's a threat to their lives. So what about somebody whose illness does not rise to that level? So this is a category that we've called a case of non-optimal health. Right? It's difficult to actually address in English. The way that we use these terms for illness doesn't really work because we use the term sick to mean many different things. The word sick doesn't mean the same thing to us as what chole means in the Gemara. And that makes things complicated. Meaning, we're going to be talking about somebody who doesn't rise to the level of illness as far as the Gemara is concerned. However, they're in some discomfort. There's something wrong. Today, we could use diagnostics in order to figure out there is something wrong with their symptoms. For that matter, today, we can determine that somebody is ill who manifests no symptoms, right? Today you have people who will have a, they'll have COVID, but they won't even know it. So we can determine that they're ill in the sense that there is a virus that's in their system, but there are no symptoms to speak of. So someone like that, I believe we would view them as not ill for this purpose, unless there was concern about dysfunction developing. They wouldn't be in any category. So I'll give you another example. Someone who has a rash, but there's nothing that comes with it. There's a rash of some kind. So they're not going to be considered ill from the standpoint of halacha. They're not in any danger. I'm talking about where we know. I'm not talking about where we haven't diagnosed it and don't know what's going on. We know what it is. It comes and goes. It's a reaction to material that they wore or whatever. So if they're not in danger, they're not going to be in the top category of illness. And if they're not bedridden, they're not, my entire body is ill. They're not in that category either. They have a rash. Okay, take care of it after Shabbos. You know? There are arguments you could make, but I think that's correct. So this category of non-optimal health, there are two different approaches in halacha for how to view this layer. One approach says that there are actually two categories of low-level illness. One is a level of illness that is low level, and that's called in Hebrew miktsas choli. And the other is somebody who isn't even called ill, they're just in some pain. In Hebrew we use the term mitzta'er, or they have what's called a mechush, some kind of an ache. And those are two different layers. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is to say, no, those are all one thing. That's all one category. I'm not going to go into the sources for the two different approaches and who's on either side. I'm going with the view that these are two different layers. One is Miktas Choli and one is Mechush or Mitzta'er. And the reason why I do that is because that's what the Mishabura does. So I feel like I'm in good company. If you take a look on the source sheet, and again, I'm going to put in the link because a couple of people joined the chat since I did that. There we go. If you're looking at source number 76, this is a line in the Shulchan Aruch. Davar she'eino malacha, ve'eino asur lasos b'shabbos ele mishum shavus. If you have an act that is not a malacha, meaning it's not biblically prohibited, this you're not allowed to do it rabbinically. Shavus is a term we use for that which the rabbis prohibited on Shabbos. So mutter li Yisrael lomar le'enu Yehudi laso so b'Shabbos. So if it's already a derabanan, I am allowed to tell a non-Jew to do it on Shabbos. V'hu she'yi yasham miktzas choli o yetzarach ledavar tzarach harbe o mepnei mitzvah v'yesh osrin. He says, I'm allowed to ask a non-Jew to do something that is rabbinically prohibited on Shabbos if there is some level of need. This is what's called a double derabanan or a shvus deshvus. Because the act itself is only rabbinically prohibited, and I'm asking a non-Jew, and asking a non-Jew to do stuff on Shabbos is rabbinically prohibited, it's now a derabanan for two different reasons, and that makes it less severe. So in a case of need, I'm allowed to do that, and one of the cases of need here is miktsas choli, somebody who is somewhat ill. Okay, keep that in mind. Now take a look at number 77. Also from the Shulchan Aruch. Mi sheyesh lo mechush ba'alma. Someone who just has a mechush. Okay, an ache. V'hu mischazek v'holech kabari. He strengthens himself and he walks around as though he's healthy. No one would know the difference. Aser lasos lo shum refuah. So you're not allowed to do anything to heal him. Va'afilu al yidei eino Yehudi. Even via a non-Jew. Gezera mishum shchika samanim. Because of concern, lest people grind up ingredients for it. So you're telling me now, if someone has a mechush, I'm not allowed to do anything for him. I'm not even allowed to ask a non-Jew. And on that, the Mishnah Berurah comments in source 78, Vafilu al yidei eino Yehudi hainu, afilu devarim shu rak mishum shavus. Even things that are only prohibited as a derabanan, gam kein asur al yado, you can't have a non-Jew do that either. Kevin Shurak Mechush Bealma, because it's just a Mechush. So in Source 76, the Shulchan Aruch said, for Miktas Choli, you can ask a non-Jew to do a derabanan. However, in 77, as explained by the Mishnah Berurah, for a Mechush, you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do a derabanan. If I didn't have the Mishnah Berurah, I could have said maybe 77 was talking about asking a non-Jew to do a deoraisa. But the Mishnah Berurah is explicit that that's not true. So therefore, I know that there are two different categories. One is called miktsas choli, somewhat ill, not ill enough to be cholashem bosakana, and the other is mechush, he's got some discomfort. And we're going to give examples, like we're going to see practical cases. But is that clear? Everyone online is good with that? Okay. So what we want to do is go through the different categories. So first we're going to go through Miktas Choli, the higher of the two. That's the one where we said you could ask a non-Jew to do a derabanan. So they're ill, but they're only Miktas ill. They're partially ill. If you take a look at source number 79, this actually comes from the Nishmas Avram's introduction, which, God willing, we'll get to next. He gives you examples of Miktas Choli. Kagon, for example, Misha Yeshlo Shi'ul Matrid. Someone has what I translated as a draining cough. A burdensome is actually a good word. A burdensome cough. I think I would use burdensome as opposed to draining. The idea is that it's exhausting. That's what I was trying to get at. But I think a burdensome cough is a good way to render that. Nazelet chazaka, a strong runny nose. Ke'ev rosh chazak, a strong headache. Not a migraine, just a strong headache. He doesn't need to lie down. He's not bedridden. You know, you ask him, how's he doing? He says, I got a headache. Or I wish my nose would stop running, you know, that kind of thing. But he's functional, he's with it. He's just, you know, clearly got a cold of one kind or another. So those are cases of miktsas choli.
No, it's interesting. These particular things, as you know, they would say many people had COVID with that.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's the thing. A particular illness has to be judged based on its context.
Yeah.
And you're entirely right. So the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch discuss this case and say, in this case, as we already saw, you could have a non-Jew do a dirabanan, right? I'm bringing you in source 80, the Rambam on it. Davar she'eno malacha, that which is not biblically prohibited, vein asur la'asosa b'Shabbos ala mishum shavuos, it's just rabbinically prohibited on Shabbos, mutter li'Yisrael lomar l'goy la'asosa b'Shabbos. So a Jew is allowed to tell a non-Jew to do it on Shabbos. Vehu sheyi yasham miktas choli o yetzarech ledavar tzarech harbe o mipnei mitzvah, assuming that there is some level of illness or the great need for it or for a mitzvah. That's the language of Shulchan Aruch adopts basically wholesale in source 76. He's quoting you the Rambam. So that's the Rambam statement. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, and the Mishneh Berurah brings it. Very interesting question, which we're not going to explore, but it's an important question to ask. A student asked me when I taught this at Stern, my first semester that I was teaching it. She said, we have a Gemara in Ksuvos, Daf Samach. We actually saw it not that long ago. It was last week or maybe the time before, which says, B'makom tsar lo gazu rabbanan. It was the discussion about nursing on Shabbos, for someone who's ill to nurse from an animal on Shabbos to get milk. So so we said, B'makom tsar lo gazu rabbanan. The rabbis did not issue their decrees for people who are in pain. Meaning the decree does not apply if somebody is in pain. So she asked me, why doesn't that then mean that I could do a derabanan? I don't need to ask a non-Jew to do a derabanan. Derabanans were not created for cases of pain. So there are a variety of answers that are given, but the basic principle is that that ein medamin shvusin. We don't compare one derabanan to another. Some derabanans are more strict than others, and the fact that you're lenient about X does not mean you're lenient about Y, even though X and Y are both derabanans. That's a short form of the of an answer for it. So we're not willing to permit all derabanans. So for somebody in this category, somebody who is ill, but not dangerously so, and not really ill, not bedridden, not entire body is ill, we say they may not take medication, right? If you take a look at source number 81, v'chol she'eno ma'achol u'mashke b'riyam. Remember, we said that one of the ways to permit medication on Shabbos is if it's a food that healthy people eat. Right, I gave the example of eating a banana for potassium. But everybody eats bananas. I mean, people who like bananas eat bananas. And they don't, it's not called medicine, it's called food. So the Shulchan Aruch says, if something is not what healthy people eat, asur la'ochlo v'lishtos l'refua, you're not allowed to eat it or drink it for medicinal reasons. V'davka misha yesh lo mechosh ba'alma, but specifically, someone who has an ache, v'hu mischazek v'holech kebari, and he strengthens himself and he walks around like he's healthy, that's the person who's not allowed to have medicine. Aval amein lo shum mechush, but if he has nothing wrong, then mutter, then he's allowed to have medicine because there's nothing wrong with him. He's not sick. Go ahead, take medicine. And then the Rama writes the part that's relevant for us. By the way, don't get confused by the fact that the Shulchan Aruch uses the word mechush, which we've already used as a name for a category.
Right.
Ignore the fact that the Shulchan Aruch used that word. It's just going to confuse things. But the key is what the Rama says at the end of number 81. V'chein im nafa l'mishkav shari. He says, if somebody is bedridden, then he's able to have medicine. So this source brings me three situations in which you're allowed to have something medicinal. A, if it's something that healthy people eat, right? That's one. B, if you are a healthy person, even though it's medicine, healthy people are allowed to take medication on Shabbos. But that's something we have to discuss more when we talk about vitamins and the like. And then the Rama says, if a person is so unhealthy that they're allowed to take medication, and that is if they are bedridden. So you have to be at the level of cholish in bo sakana to be allowed to take medication. You follow? Yeah. That's the point. Now you say to me, but they're in pain, right? This person is in pain. Why don't I invoke makom tzar lo gazu rabbanan? For that reason, why don't I say that they should be allowed to do it? So take a look at source number 82. Shmir Shabbos kehilchas quotes of Shlomo Zalman Orbach with an idea from Rabbi Akiva Eger. I think I'm going to say it outside because outside it's easier to explain than in the passage. Can you imagine what halacha would look like if we said that every time somebody is in pain, derabbanans don't apply? There are certain derabbanans that actually create pain by definition, right? Fast days, right? Yom Kippur is a deoraisa, fine. But Tisha B'Av, well, Tisha B'Av is a weird category. Let's ignore Tisha B'Av as an example of it. Shabbat Aser B'Tammuz, right? It's a good long fast day in the Northern Hemisphere. The people are in pain. Well, derabbanans weren't created for a case of pain. So the statement here that he quotes from Shlomo Zalman in source number 82 is that when you're dealing with a decree that was generated in order to create a circumstance which involves pain, it's that's what fasting is. I'm not talking about somebody who is so ill from it beyond the normal scope of what people experience when they're fasting. But if you were to tell me, well, we can't require people to fast because they're going to be in pain, then throw fasting out the window. That's it. You're done. So the same thing is true over here. The same statement applies. If you're going to tell me that the decree against taking medication doesn't apply when it causes people to be in pain, then what does the decree mean? Obviously, it causes people to be in pain, by definition.
But when we think about, like, a kindness, we're expecting that part of it is that, like, you're going to, you know, while, like, on a Shabbos morning, if you have, a sinus headache,
right,
it's going to take away from the whole, what you want Shabbos to be like.
Right. So I know for those online heard the question. The question is, it's one thing to say for a fast day, like, pain is the goal. But on Shabbos, we don't want to be in pain. What are we doing? Understood. It's not that we want people to be in pain.
No, I know.
But if the rabbis really believed that pain overrides the gezeira, they wouldn't have made the gezeira in the first place. It wouldn't make any sense. If you drop it for pain, then what is it there for? So it's clear that they conceived of a world in which, yes, as a result of this, people will experience some level. Remember, number one, we saw, I don't think you were here when we were doing it, we saw five or six different loopholes, ways that you can get around the medication prohibition.
Plus, I was on Zoom. Yeah.
Okay. Plus the fact that Ein Bo Sakana is able to use medicine, and obviously anybody above that in the hierarchy.
Right.
So the reality is that while there are cases that we can't help with some degree of anticipation before Shabbos, anytime we think something is going to happen, or if things are just, you know, develop on Shabbos, but they're bad enough, they're going to be able to take medication. So yeah, it has enough mitigators to go with it. So this is the rule of miktas choli. Miktas choli is this person with the burdensome cough, so they could ask a non-Jew to do a derabbanan. Now, I'm not entirely sure what they're asking a non-Jew to do for them.
Yeah, what did they ask?
That's going to actually help them,
yeah,
in this case. Maybe I could conceive of a possibility of, let's say the following. Maybe asking a non-Jew to do something to warm up, let's take the view that electricity, like Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, is a derabbanan on Shabbos. Okay, taking out Rav Asher Weiss and the Chazon Ish and, you know, and all that. Right, take the view that electricity is a derabbanan on Shabbos. So maybe if you have a heating pad that doesn't involve heating up metal to the point where it glows, and they can turn on a heating pad for somebody to be able to use, maybe that would be a case. I don't know. You have to think better, you know, of a case. Maybe that would be one. The lowest rung is the person who is in the category that we call mitzta'er or mechush. And as an example of that, in source number 83, the Aruch HaShulchan, Misha yesh lo mechush be'alma. Someone has a mere ache. Mechush be'rosh, an ache of the head, o be'me'av, or in his intestines, o be'lev, his heart, v'kayotze b'zeh and the like. V'umischazek v'holech k'bari, but he's able to walk around. K'mo sheyesh chalushim, ipnei mechushim sheyesh lehem shi'ul v'chayotze b'zeh, v'holchem menosim v'osim kol ha'asakim. He says, you have people who are weak. They're experiencing some kind of ache, some kind of a cough, and it bothers them, but they go about their business. Elam din chola klal. That person does not have the status of a chola at all. Va'aser lasos lehem refuah afilu ayidei enu Yehudi. You may not do anything medicinal for them, even via a non-Jew. Gzer mishum shchikas samanim, because of the concern that they might come to grind ingredients. So this is a person with a cough, a person with a light headache, a belly ache, something along those lines. And what we're saying is nothing. There is nothing to do. And the Shulchan Aruch says on it in source 84, Mishi yesh lo mechosh ba'alma v'mischazik v'olech k'bari, a person has just an ache, and he strengthens himself, he walks around, aser lasos lo shom refuah, don't do anything to heal him, v'afilu ayideinu Yehudi, even via non-Jew, gzera mishom shchika samanim. This is what we quoted before, and this was in 77.
But in terms of, let's think about the quote for a moment. So if we, in this category, let's say now that they're going to feel uncomfortable coming to shul, but versus taking some type of cough medicine so that they'll feel comfortable, they're not really, if you're saying, if we're putting in this category, I mean, I guess I'm just trying to get my head around, like, coughing. I mean,
right.
Just...
Right, so they may not be able to come to shul, or right. They may have to wear a mask.
Right, understood. But we'd rather that they don't come to, like...
Yes. Okay. Yeah, the gzera is the gzera. You know, I do the gzera disservice because I talk about all the ways we undermine it. But at the end of the day, it's still a gzera derabbanan, unless people grind things, which is, you know, a d'oraisa we're scared of. So the answer is yes. That's the long and short of it. Okay? Everyone online catch that? Okay. Toby, you good? Okay. So that concludes my introduction to the introduction.